Good morning. I imagine getting up this morning, you wouldn't have been surprised if somebody told you that today's lesson was going to be on mothers, but it's not. It's going to be about something that's been really bothering, really weighing on my mind lately, and I haven't done a very good job of handling it. I'm going to show it in a way that I think a lot of people can probably relate to. We're going to be talking about stress. Stress has been weighing a lot on my mind lately. And if you can't tell what that last S is, it's a gas pump handle. Right now there's a lot of stress that I'm dealing with, and the problem is dealing with it the right way. Being a Christian doesn't assure us of being able to handle a situation the proper way. We're not guaranteed that we know how to handle it very well. It does assure us, though, that we have the resources to handle it right. One thing that's caused me stress is money and prices. Does it ever seem to you like a gas pump is stuck in your wallet, sucking it dry? Even if you have a fuel-efficient vehicle, it still gets you other ways. The prices of food, the prices of everything else gets more expensive because the gas prices climb. Companies have to pass the prices of the fuel they use onto the customer through the prices that they're charging for their services or their products. And the rich just keep getting richer. Exxon and BP, the biggest oil-producing companies in the United States, have reported their combined profits to be over $16 billion just since 2011 has begun. Their financial gains have cost millions of other people high amounts of stress. Can we? How do we get through the stressful situations that we go through? I turn to Philippians, the fourth chapter. Verses 7 through 13. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein ye are also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all the things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We are assured that times of stress won't be always as dire as they seem, or as good for non-Christians as they seem right now. We can have that assurance just being a Christian, and if we pay attention to the scriptures and what we're told. In James, the first chapter, verses 9 and 12, it says, "Let the brother of low decree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away." So we're assured that the rich, wicked people that are prospering now, it's not always going to be that way for them. And our struggles that we have and stress over, if we're true to Christ, it's not always going to be that way for us. It's going to get better. Psalms 37, verses 1 through 5, it reads, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." There are so many things that we can stress over in our lives. Marriage can cause us stress, since we know from the start things aren't going to be perfect. It's not going to be all wedding day bliss. There's going to be problems. Some of us have more issues in our marriage than others. In Matthew, the 19th chapter, 3 through 5, it says, "The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying to him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for any cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be of one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. Whatsoever God hath joined together, let no man put asunder." That's a very important thing, that we keep the marriages that we do have, keep them with God. God has to be involved in order for it to work. And if we have God in the mix, we can make it work somehow, some way. Children growing astray can cause stress to parents and to elders who have to give an account for them someday. Psalms 127 and 3 says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and a fruit of the womb is his reward." And when one of us is lured away by the world, God loses that reward with that person. And if you're that person, God loses that reward with you if you decide not to follow him. Stress with health can come not just over the health, but being made well. And being made well, it can come from medical bills that need to be paid. There's a lot of people that have serious health conditions, such as cancer, that go on for a long amount of time, and they can't pay the medical bills, and they feel buried. And that can cause a great amount of stress. If our problems overwhelm us, it causes us to focus on the problem and not on God, if we let it. As I said earlier, I've been stressing a lot lately over a contract that I never should have signed, and trying to find a way out of that. There's a lot of things that can cause us to stress How do we handle it? How do we handle the stress as a Christian? Remember, all problems are smaller than God. A comment on one of the sites that I visited preparing for this talk said, I find it almost impossible to be stressed and praise God at the same time. When I'm stressed, I just start praising and the stress seems to go away. In order for that to happen, you have to open your heart to praise. You can't just sing. You can easily sing words and not be thinking about what the words you're singing are. You got to actually open your heart to do the praising. Romans 12, the second verse, it says, And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye might prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have to transform our minds into being Christians away from all the stresses and problems of the world. There has to be a heart devotional to God. In Psalms, the 37th chapter, verses 25 through 28, it reads, I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen a righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging for bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. We have to be transforming of our minds, and that's the only way to fully devote our understanding to God. And God truly does find a way for us to get out of problems when we devote ourselves. I've seen it happen when I feel closest to God, that He always has an answer if you look hard enough. In Job, the second chapter, verse 10, it says, But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord and not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. Job bring up a good point. We are richly blessed. And Job was richly blessed. He had many children and much livestock, and it was all taken away from him. He was richly blessed in the first place, and something bad happened, and his wife wanted him to just curse God and die. He knew that this wasn't the way. We can't accept all good all the time. That's for heaven. That's what comes after this life. We're going to receive our share of bad things while we're here on this earth. I read in a statement that said that stress can be boiled down to a lack of trust in God. We believe in being a Christian that He's the author and composer of our life. And of faith, we believe that He has given us everything we need for our life. And we do. But somewhere along the way, we have failed to trust in God. On one hand, that is a rather irritating statement to be told that being stressed is a lack of trust in God. But when you really think about it, how is it not? If we're truly Christians and we're not turning to God with our problems, and we're stressing over it and stressing how God's going to answer, is He really going to know what's best for me? When He always does, even when it's not the answer that we think it is, or the one that we think it should be. There's a poem I read in one of the Chicken Soup for the Soul books, that it's entitled Most Richly Blessed, and it's written by a Confederate soldier. It says, I asked God for strength that I might achieve, and I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing I asked for, but everything I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed. If we can all look to our own lives and realize how blessed we are, and the things we do have, and not stress so much over the positive, things would go a lot better for us. In 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter, and verses 1 through 6, it reads, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag had smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein, and they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept, until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters, but David encouraged himself in the Lord." So this is one of the more forgotten stories. We don't really talk a whole lot about, but David was deeply distressed about what was going to come. People wanted to stone him because everybody was so stressed out about what was happening to their families. He was stressed out about his own family too, but he was in charge, and he had the weight of the world was on his shoulders. There are many scriptures that we can look to in these times more than I can even fit into a 30-minute lesson. I just couldn't believe how many different things, just scrolling on forever and ever, it seemed like, of different things that you can look to in the scriptures for comfort in stressful times. And I have some of these verses that you can write down if you want to, some verses to look at for comfort in these rough times that we go through. Psalms 34, verses 9 and 10, it says, "O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want in them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." In that same chapter, verses 4 through 17, or verse 17, it says, "When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and rescue them from all their troubles." Also in verse 4 of that chapter, it says, "I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest," as found in Exodus 33 and 14. Deuteronomy 31 and 8 reads, "It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you, and he will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." Psalms 9, verses 9 through 10. "The Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know my name will put their trust in thee." Thee that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Psalm 16:8. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Matthew 11, the 28th verse through the 30th. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God and Christ are there to make that burden lighter. Prayer in times of distress is always encourageable. Just stop everything and truly throw yourself into deep prayer, if at all possible. If we go to 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter, and verses 13 through 23. And David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because of this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, and the child also that is born to thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed into his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child. And David fasted and went in all day and all night upon the earth. And the elders of the house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither would he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. And David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel, and came to the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house. And when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. And his servants then said his servants unto him, what thing is it that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while he is yet alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst arise and eat bread. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me, that the child may live? Now that he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return unto me. David had a strong enough relationship with God that he didn't distress over God's answer. Whatever God was going to give to him, he was going to accept. He was praying for good, because that's what he wanted. He wanted his son to live, and he was hoping that God might have mercy on him in that way. But he was willing to accept whatever God's answer was, even though it wasn't what he wanted in the end. In 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, and verses 4 through 13. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even of all the cities of Judah. They came to seek of the Lord, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art thou the God of heaven, and rulest not over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive the inhabitants of the land before thy people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever. And they dwelt therein, and they have built thee a sanctuary wherein for thy name, saying, if when evil come upon us with a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before the house in thy presence, for thy name is in thy house, and thy cry unto thee is our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and of Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but turn from them and destroy them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come back and cast out of the possession which thou hast given us to inherit. O Lord, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and wives and children. Jehoshaphat led a heartfelt prayer, giving God all the credit and letting him know that all the power was with God, and that he acknowledged that God was the only way that was going to get them out of their position, that was going to help them. Psalms 35, 27 and 28. Let them shout out for joy and be glad. Let favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all day long. This is the way we should look at things. We should be willing to praise God at all times, even in stressful times. In John 14 and 27 it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, though I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God has a whole different kind of peace that he's going to give to us if we're willing to fully listen to his word and cast all our cares upon him, because he does care for us. There are things that we can look to ease stress, and we have to look to God in the scriptures to fully trust that God is listening. He can take our burdens. No burdens are too overwhelming for God to handle. And if you have burdens that you haven't dealt with, and you need to take care of those burdens, and you need to bring them before Christ, you have an opportunity to do that. If your burden is that you haven't been baptized yet, and you know what you need to do in order to be saved from eternal punishment in hell, if that's your burden, you need to come forward and be baptized and devote your life to God. And you have that opportunity as we stand and sing the invitation song.